This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Bob Hamer. He's a retired special agent with the FBI, 26 years with the Bureau, and he also served on the Bureau's Joint Terrorism Task Force. He's also the author of Enemies Among Us. We want to get his reaction and insights into the story breaking right here in the Washington area today as a Virginia man, 34 years old, Farouk Ahmed, taken into custody by the FBI for allegedly conspiring to plot terrorist attacks against multiple sites along D.C.'s Metro Rail system. And Bob, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me again.
Well, the way the story broke down is that government agents of some form or fashion ended up befriending Mr. Ahmed and making him believe that they were on his side in trying to put together a terrorist plot. They had him surveilling different metro stations, including Arlington Cemetery, Pentagon City, Crystal City, all around the Washington area here. And so now he's in custody on charges of material support for providing terrorism and some other charges. What do you make of this? What jumps out at you about this story?
You know, again, it's one of these situations where it's the hardest thing for an undercover agent and a case agent to make that determination is essentially when do you pull the plug? When do you move forward with the arrest? Because typically in one of these situations, if you do it too soon, it throws up all kinds of arguments for the defense counsel. And obviously, if you wait too long, you have a horrible attack on your hands. I mean, I can just see the defense counsel now as he talks to his client, tries to figure out, okay, what are the facts that I can play with? And the defense is going to be, oh, no, he was just posturing. He was just embellishing his badness in order to fit in with the group. He didn't really take a leadership role in this. You know, he's always been a follower. He's a jokester. He's a prankster. I mean, these are the kind of defenses that they try to pull in one of these situations because, unlike the 93 World Trade Center bombing, you know, the bomb went off and people were injured, or obviously 9/11 where people have been killed. So, you know, it's a different defense in that case. But in one of these situations, you have to wonder, okay, how much longer do we go as the case agent, as the undercover agent, how much longer do we let this guy go until we make the arrest? Obviously, I think just based upon what the news reports are saying, the Bureau has quite a bit of evidence that they've already gathered. You know, they've surveyed him as he's been taking pictures. It's one of these situations, and I don't know whether this is actually an undercover agent or an informant that they're working with, a cooperating witness, but you have to become one of them without becoming one of them. It's the most difficult job for an undercover agent to pose as one of those people and make them believe that you are one of them, but you can't cross that line.
Hmm. Bob, how do you spot these potential problems in the first place? How do you target someone like Ahmed and believe that you do need to infiltrate his life to some extent to figure out what he's up to?
Again, it comes down to the very basic boots on the ground. Every FBI agent's going to tell you this, every member of the Joint Terrorism Task Force, it comes down to developing intelligence. You have to have those people in the community. They're willing to share the information with you, and you act upon that information. Now, obviously, we have electronic surveillance as well, whether it's NSA overhears or FISA intercepts, something like that puts you onto a particular individual or a particular group. Typically, most of the cases are brought to us because someone is suspicious of the activity, or we have someone in the group, and then they provide information on this other member of the group. I mean, it's a personal situation for me, but I just finished up a case called Operation Smoking Dragon. We targeted one individual. That individual led us to eventually, between what I did on the West Coast and my counterparts did on the East Coast, we arrested 87 people. So sometimes when you get into a situation, it just keeps building up and up and up, and the web of deceit, so to speak, it expands.
Bob, we keep hearing stories like this, like Najib Boulazizi, Faisal Shahzad, the Times Square bomber, or at least attempted Times Square bomber. All these different cases keep popping up, but they seem to be, at least on the surface, isolated. But we also hear these warnings from Homeland Security and other entities that the problem of homegrown terror cells or even lone wolves is an increasing problem. What can you tell our listeners about the scope of this?
Well, I think we have seen that in the last couple of years. It has been expanding. I think that a lot of these people have been here. We had it even as early as 2002 with the killings at LAX, at Los Angeles International Airport, where it was a lone terrorist committing an act of terrorism when he killed the people at the LAL ticket counter. But again, it's the lone wolf is the most difficult person to identify, and that's the one that takes this the real diligence on the part of the community and the members of the Joint Terrorism Task Force.
Bob, you mentioned that it's boots on the ground and intelligence that helps to tip off the FBI and other law enforcement agencies to potential problems. In this sort of environment, we're all, I guess, boots on the ground. So what are the telltale signs? What are some red flags that if we witness this or observe something, that we should definitely make sure somebody in authority knows?
You know, again, it comes down to something that looks like it's out of the ordinary. I mean, particularly in a public venue. I mean, if you're at the train station, if you're at the metro station, if you're at the airport, if you're in a public venue at a sports arena or a stadium, and you see something that just doesn't look right, then reach out and tell someone. You know, tell one of the security guards, tell the uniformed police presence. Let them know. They're the ones that are getting paid to act upon this. And look, they're 99% of the time, they're going to investigate it. They're not going to blow you off because they want it to be safe as well. So, I mean, those are the type of things that you have to look for. Just that looks like it's out of the ordinary, something that doesn't belong.
Very interesting. Bob, thank you so much for always helping us understand the story a little bit better.
Great. Thanks, Greg.
Appreciate it. Bob Hamer is a 26-year veteran of the FBI, retired special agent, served on the Joint Terrorism Task Force, and he's the author of Enemies Among Us. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.